I see the green in your eyes, it is strong, just like your shoulders. Come with me to the creek, darling, I got something to show you.
Hello. Thank you for tuning in on this rainy, rainy day to another episode of Elephant Loaf. This is Luke, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And today I have a very special guest with me. Lacey, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Luke. Hi, I'm Lacey, friend of Luke. Very excited to be here. This is my first time on a WMFO radio show. Seniors. Can't believe it. Can you believe
it's wild. There is so little school left. I think it's a Tuesday Thursday class where like the 25th is my final day of classes, and it is now the 4th. That is soon.
No, I keep up with the files tab or like the modules on Canvas, and looking and seeing two left in my class that has the most.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a wild feeling. I can't believe we're really, you know, seeing the finish line in sight now.
Yeah, the classes that put the entire semester schedule out from day one, like, that's how I've always been able to tell time, you know? And right now, my only class like that is environmental policy, which it's just an impossibly long list, so I've never actually seen the bottom, so I don't know how close we are.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have no other way of keeping track of time during the semester. Every time, like, a break rolls through, I really feel like I'm just floating, like, aimlessly, untethered. I have no idea what day of the week it is, how long is left in break. I can barely tell in the semester when we're at the start. Ew. Until we get to the point where there's, like, 5 or less weeks left, and I'm like, wow, oh, we're at the start of April. It's exciting though.
Yeah,
it really makes the drive to work on my final papers kick in.
Definitely. Yeah, that extra little bit of adrenaline is coming through right now for sure. The end of beginnings. I've been listening to The End of Beginning by DJO. This is my attempt at a segue right now. I've been listening to that a lot. And we just listened to Come With Me Now by Camp, which is a song that you've been listening to daily?
Every morning when I wake up, it's the first thing that I put on. Sometimes I queue it up before I go to sleep so that I just have to open Spotify and I can press play and let it start.
Yeah.
And End of Beginning is also on this list. I think it's at the top of my on repeat on Spotify right now.
It's so good.
It's fantastic.
It's such a good song.
I have my little like roll of songs. It's always three songs that I listen to nearly every day. And lately I've been trying to get up more in the mornings. It's fantastic. I'm getting up
at talking
like
about
this. I know you were such an inspiration for this with me. You said last semester that you hadn't been setting alarms, and the like I was so happy for you, like so very happy for you, but also just so undeniably jealous. I was like, that's amazing. Like, what a life to be living where you can just wake up to the sun. And I decided that I was going to try to wake up with the sunrise a little more often.
Nice.
Because, wow, what a way to start your day. It's been just such a peaceful, slow start to my mornings now, and it feels like the perfect way to be ending off senior year.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. So you said End of Beginnings, this song, one or two others?
Yeah, gosh, I'm trying to think of what else has been on the roster right now. Homesick by Noah Kahan is just kind of always on there. I really love his collaboration with Brandi Carlile on You're Gonna Go Far.
Okay, yep.
I love that song. Mm-hmm. It's probably like my favorite off of the album, and I don't think there could have been a single better artist for him to cover that with for me than Brandi Carlile. My excitement was unmatched. So that one has definitely been in the roster for, it's really just a lot of Noah Kahan. The snowy weather that we're having today, it just feels so perfect. I love it.
It's great. It's so great. I've been listening to so much of She Calls Me Back with Kacey Musgraves on it.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, a day ago or 2 days ago or something, I realized part of the reason I like that song so much is because it sounds like Vance Joy is singing a little bit. And then that made me want Vance Joy and Noah Kahan to do something together.
Love that.
Which,
an idea.
I'm putting that into the universe and just going to try and manifest it.
No, I love that. Kacey Musgraves has been, I've been listening to a lot of country music lately. My day list is constantly like Coastal Cowgirl Afternoon.
Nice.
And so... Wow. Yeah, I've loved it. Yeah. And she does this cover of Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn. And I love that song. I almost thought about playing, putting it on as one to play today. Country music has been... every time it gets to be a little bit warmer weather, I start listening to more country music.
Real. Very real. So... Also, before the show, we were talking about... this is so cool. We haven't even gotten into questions yet. This is great. We were talking about what songs I come up with every week. I don't come up with the songs. The guest comes up with the songs. And, like, one of the things that's been really awesome is there have been so many different things. Neon Moon's come up before. And
really?
It's on the big Elephant Loaf playlist that's, like, I think 14 hours right now.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Let me just check. But... yeah, about 15 hours. 249 songs at this point, and that's before yours. You are my 29th, 30th interview, something like that.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
This is so exciting. I feel honored.
Good stuff. American Kids. Do you know that song? I don't know.
It sounds so... who's it by? It sounds so familiar.
Yeah. You definitely know it. I think... let me see.
Because I'm thinking Just Kids by Brandi Carlile at the moment. It's like overwriting what I can think.
Kenny Chesney?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that, okay. A, we're going to have to line dance together at some point.
I was thinking about that next week.
I'm not doing anything on Tuesday. So like that's what I would most like to do next Tuesday.
Perfect.
When I went line dancing like a month ago at this point-ish, that song came on, and it's been on numbers of my playlists since.
Oh, I love that.
It's good. There's some country music that's just—it's just there for you, and it's just—it's great.
It's the vibes are just so upbeat, like chill, like just enjoying the moment. Like they also carry such like a pack of nostalgia for me. Mm-hmm. I keep it was the first playlist I made actually coming into college was my country playlist. It's titled Homesick Hillbilly.
Yep.
I love it. It's got like country music that was released a year ago, all the way back to the stuff that my grandparents were listening to in like the 50s.
It's a good playlist.
Yeah, comprehensive.
Yeah. Rock on. I'm gonna flip through some of the questions you got.
I just put a lot of questions so that you could pick.
That's awesome. I don't know your favorite color. What is your favorite color?
See, I put this question because I have been asking myself this lately.
Oh,
because
introspection.
My answer has always been blue, and I think it's blue. I love blue. All shades of blue are gorgeous. More so than anything, like a nice teal, I'm a big fan of.
Underrated.
Beautiful, right?
Or like a loud and weird pick, but a good pick.
Exactly. Like, it's one that, like... there's not many circumstances where I'm like, teal is the right shade of blue for whatever item.
Yeah.
But every time it is, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Big fan of teal. But really, all shades of blue. I mean, they rock. I'm so excited that our graduation wrote... are they black or are they blue? I thought they were blue for some reason. I hope we have some amount of blue.
I need to buy mine.
You'll get there.
I think they're somewhere right now. and perfect. Hopefully I haven't missed the window.
No, they'll be in the bookstore after,
I think they're in the bookstore as we live and breathe, but
you're
I'm
set.
Not certain. Anyway, our graduation robes might be blue.
Would be awesome.
I'll get back to you when I buy mine.
What they definitely won't be, though, is the color that I've been really wondering. Maybe green is like, it's always been a close second, but it feels like it's been creeping up on blue in recent years. There's something... I think it's living, actually, in New England. There's plenty of green, like, all year round.
Green everywhere.
But really, once you get to, like, the middle of the winter and all the leaves are gone and you walk out that first day in spring, and, like, it feels like the world's come a little bit alive again.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so I feel like I've developed this, like, appreciation for green. That I didn't have before. Actually, I think dyeing my hair red also helps with that.
Yep.
Because now I'm like, oh, I love the way that green looks. So, blue and green, one or the other. I'm gonna go with blue because it's my like tried and true. Mm. But green is really
within green. Do you have any shades that you like? Because I think more than a lot of colors. Like to me, all shades of purple are a similar level of cool, and that is very cool. But like green, I think has got a pretty big delta.
No, I agree. I prefer darker greens.
Okay.
Like a forest green, an emerald green are both really nice. But I don't know that I have decided on my favorite. It'd definitely be one of the... I'd probably like forest green style.
Okay.
I just... It's really like being among trees. I think I just...
Yeah.
I like green because it feels like outdoors. And it's nice. Warm weather, pretty times. Yeah.
Have you heard of, like, forest bathing as a concept or, like, nature bathing?
No,
it's
please
just
enlighten me.
Walk in a forest is the whole thing. And, and the thing is, when I'm not in a forest, I'm like, that's a stupid term. Why would anyone that's just go outside? And then when I'm outside, I'm like, oh, I'm forest bathing.
Oh, no, I would go forest bathing. That sounds incredible.
You know?
No, I feel that way about water oftentimes, which is another reason that blue, like, I think is going to keep holding out. Because, like, being around water is just so peaceful. And there's nothing that feels quite like, I mean, like, even the little Mystic River nearby, like, sitting on the bank, watching the water come by, green trees all around. I'll make a lot of trips out there with my friends over the summer because my friend Mac lives near it. And just, I mean, it just feels like the way summer is supposed to be spent. I'm so looking forward to getting to spend another summer here. And this time without the pressure of school looming.
That's
feels
huge.
Crazy.
That's big. So earlier this semester, we had our mutual friend Elizabeth, who also went with us to France. I don't even know why that was a needed tangent, but we were in France together and it was wonderful.
It
and
was.
Something in my brain chemistry changed, and I will love swimming in lakes for the rest of my life.
Oh, gosh, I've never loved swimming in a lake so much. I mean, I'm from Florida, so there can be alligators.
Yeah. There are things that eat you in lakes.
Yeah, they're a little scary. And, like, I also grew up swimming in these beautiful freshwater springs. They're, like, beautiful blues, super clear. Oh, I love them. Most of my, like, best childhood memories are from summers spent at the springs with family, friends. Like, we over the summer would take like an annual camping trip for maybe 4 days or so. And I'm telling you, on the day that it was like the busiest, we'd have somewhere around 35 people just pulled up at our campsite.
Cool.
It was such an amazing vibe. But it means that then when I'd go swim in water where I could not see what was swimming around me, little more freaky, a little higher stakes. But David, my incredible host father, I know you remember David.
Of course I do. He cooked one of the best meals I've ever had.
He is an amazing chef, and I think about the Genet family every single day. Shout out to them. But they assured me that there was nothing other than just harmless fish in that lake.
Yep.
And every time I jumped in, it was just pure peace. I've never felt like that in a lake before. And now, especially that the weather's like bad, but also getting better, I think about Talwar all of the time. I ran
constantly.
Into Sydney the other
Rock
day, too,
on.
Who was also there with us. And she was telling me that she's been thinking about it. I know Elizabeth says it every single time I see her, that she always thinks about Talwar. That's my next time that I get to go abroad. I should want to go somewhere new, I feel like.
Yeah.
But God, I
want
to go back to Talwar.
Yep. I'm in the exact same boat there. Another random connection. Nelson posted on his Instagram story today about a very handsome chef that has Nelson's same name but looks a little bit older. And I can only imagine that it's Nelson's dad, who's, I think, either won some cooking award or is being featured for some restaurant or something. And it's just really sweet.
God.
Yeah.
I Gabriella and Nelson, just wow. They made that experience so fantastic. Anyone listening should consider the Tufts and Talwar program. What a time.
I completely agree. I was bad about backfilling context there. Sydney was on the trip with us, and then Nelson and Gabriella are the two of the wonderful adult human beings that run the trip and wrangle 70 Tufts kids in France.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when am I ever going to get to study out of an 11th century French priory only minutes walk away from a beautiful beach again? I mean, such a specifically incredible experience.
If that happens again, please let me know.
Look, if it happens again, I'm bringing you along with me, okay, I promise.
Please. Rock on. You want to jump into another question? You want to jump into music? What are you feeling right
now? Let's do another question before we do a song.
Cool. We've been talking. You put question two on here. I haven't made it past question two. We'll get to the others at some point. We do a lot of talking about books, movies, and TV shows and media in general. There are a lot of recommendations that go back and forth between us. I don't know if you had anything in particular in mind, but we can also just nerd out about anything that we've seen together or anything you've watched recently.
See, I didn't have anything specific in mind, but as someone who just loves media so much, I felt that almost obligated to put this question.
Definitely.
I mean, now that I'm a proud AMC A-list subscriber,
so true.
I just feel like I need to collect as many movies as possible. I've really been living it up since I got Letterboxd and Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited for the semester to end, also for the reason of making it through my book list, which is super backlogged at the moment. I feel like I just have so many constant book, show, and like movie recommendations.
That's so valid. Have you been reading anything recently? I know that typically falls off during the semester because...
Yeah, unfortunately, that has fallen off. I finished the one book I was reading at the start of the semester, and then I tried to get into another and just kind of faltered there a little bit.
Real.
But I cannot articulate why, but I have fallen lately into a like rabbit hole of reading autobiographies and like memoirs.
Whoa. Okay.
Which is like such a specific type of book. It's really funny because when people ask like, what do you like to read? I have the last like four books I think I've read have been memoirs.
Yeah.
And I never expect to be picking up a memoir. But it just kind of happens.
Sure.
I was going to my local library before leaving for break while I was home around Christmas. And they had a book on display that just kind of caught my eye. And I picked it up, and it was this pastor's kind of memoir about how he came to realize that he was trans and like how that led to like his understanding of like different biblical stories. And he would like talk about the way that he like related to them and understood them in terms of his own life. And I really love a memoir that is about like some larger concept, but that the author uses their like personal story to help like tell.
Definitely.
And all the memoirs that I've been reading have mostly been like that, except for Brandi Carlile's. Brandi Carlile's was just a memoir, but I will read anything she puts out.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. Our friend Lauren, that was amazing gift. It took me a year. I think I finished it the birthday after that I received it.
Sure.
But yeah, really, really big fan of memoirs lately.
That's awesome. And so I was going to ask, you started to answer this though, of like, is it more what the memoir is talking about or who the memoir is about that brings you into them?
So it really depends, memoir by memoir, because this person, the one that I had just read, I knew nothing about the individual. They're not particularly famous.
Yeah.
I've listened to some of their podcasts since, but I was just really like interested in the idea. It was called In the Margins. And I was just really intrigued by the idea. I was like, I've never seen anything quite like this.
Yeah.
So felt like worth picking up. But the Brandi Carlile one was just because I'm such a big fan. I also read Abby Wambach for the same reason. She was a famous U.S. soccer player. She was from Buffalo, New York, but came and played in college for the Florida Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators. Yep. And then she was on the U.S. Women's National Team for many, many years. Won a lot of their World Cups with them. gay icon.
There you go.
Actually, yeah. So most of the memoirs I've been reading are either gay celebrities, or they tell like a story just about like a person's life and some larger concept that has helped influence it, which I think is so cool. I love people's stories. I love hearing about people's like lives, and getting to connect that to like a larger experience. I read a lot of sociology books, actually, is what it comes down to. The last one I read was called The Privileged Poor, and it was about low-income students on elite college campuses. And it was particularly looking at the difference between low-income students who had had the preparation of going to like elite high schools and those who didn't. And it was so crazy to be reading these stories and be like, oh, I understand this, and this is putting like my experience into words that I wouldn't have thought to use.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that like the experiences that I'm having are like universally shared, even if they're not discussed. I just love feeling like part of something bigger, you know, something greater than ourselves.
It's cool. I've been finding that with poetry recently, of being able to find a thing and go, that's the feeling, that's the one, that's the thing that I'm feeling right now. Thank you for putting that into words, you know?
No, absolutely. Oh, I have a friend, actually, who's a poet, and I love reading her stuff. I mean, also because like I know the stories that go into it, and just, oh, I love poetry. It's one of those things that I always want to get more into. But I was going through my camera roll and cleaning it out the other day, and I found an old poem that she had like written about me and some like of our memories in like high school, and it was the sweetest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I just, oh, like I love like what poetry can convey and what like books and just writing. I love reading. It's a passion I've really rediscovered in college.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful to see people's, you know, feelings and experiences put into like such perfect words to describe them.
Very real. I had the nerdiest thought just a couple days ago. I was like, when I graduate college, what if I want to read academic papers? I know I won't have to anymore, but what if I want to? How am I going to do that?
No, that's so real. I've had that thought, and I am here to let you know that you can get, I want to say it's like 100 articles a year, a month or something from JSTOR for free.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, I remember learning that. It was like part of their commitment to like, you know, like transparency about research like that. And I was super excited. I don't know if we can still use Tufts to get.
It'd be nice.
But it'd be really rad.
I feel like that should be a part of tuition.
I agree.
I should be a lifelong Tufts student.
Yeah, don't you want us to keep learning, growing?
Yep. And if you want us to continue to be part of your community, you know, post-graduation, then I feel like there should be a way to do that.
Yeah, what better way to do that with the JSTOR subscription?
Exactly. Exactly. How can I go on to do great things if I can't read?
Exactly. That's the attitude.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I've had that. Actually, I think I just saw it maybe on Instagram, and then I like looked it up to check because I was like, this can't be real. But no, JSTOR like has like a certain number of articles. It might be even way lower than that. It might be like 15 a month or something, which gives you a little more than 100 a year. Like,
it's
not like I'm
going to
be reading that many, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is like definitely perfect. But yeah, I love reading my little academic papers. I'm going to have questions, and I'm going to look them up, and when an academic paper is the first thing to address it, I want to be able to access it.
Right? It's neat. And one of the first classes I took in college, a professor made, like instead of exams, we had to break down papers. And that was really cool.
That's awesome.
Because she was very much about, like, skim the whole thing. You're not going to get all of it. And that's okay. No one does.
Yeah.
That's all right. And just normalizing that from day one was really, really good.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was definitely like an acquired skill, figuring out how to get through an academic paper. And it feels really cool. Like now, like being in like last year of college, and they're talking about like the methodological choices that they made in a paper. And I'm like, whoa, I understand this.
Yeah.
Like, usually that was the section that I was like, I'm just going to skip over this. It's not that relevant to what I'm doing in class. But now, like, it's like probably the part that I feel like I talk about the most in my seminars, which
That's
has
awesome.
Been awesome.
Yeah.
Well, at least the seminars where it's applicable. I'm reading a lot of legal readings this semester, so
that sounds like a tough time to be.
Oh, it's dense.
Yep. Different media question. You said you're watching Survivor right now, off air, and is it the season that's coming out right now? Is it a previous season?
Both.
Both.
So, you know, you only get an episode a week.
Yeah, which is not enough.
It's not enough.
Of Jeff Probst or anything.
Exactly. And it's not enough for the rate at which I consume media.
Yep.
Especially because Survivor is like my perfect background show.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about reality TV is it follows such a script. Like, you know, like what's going to happen. He's going to say the same exact things at every tribal council.
Yep.
It makes it really easy to tune out for those parts and tune into the interesting parts so that I can get work done. And it motivates me to do work for longer because I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, definitely.
So I usually put on Survivor in the background. I want to say I'm working on season 40 right now,
okay.
is what the number is. Winners at War, which is awesome. They're bringing back 20 of the previous winners and having them compete against each other.
Crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I'm also keeping up with the new season of Survivor, which actually just had another episode released last night. I think it was episode number 5. Got to catch up on that.
Big time. Yeah, that'll do it. That's because that's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which is also my fantasy high day, which is also not coming out fast enough.
Love it. But. No, they never come out fast enough.
Nope.
And I've been like trying to convince myself watching it. I'm like, can I survive like at 30 days in this? Like the hunger can't be, because like hunger is like the thing that motivates them the most, it seems.
What's the new day count? I know they reduced it from 39 in newest seasons.
I want to say it's just 30 days now.
Okay.
But I can only imagine how grueling it is. I feel like the sleeping outside is what has to get to you more than anything. Like, you're really sleeping unprotected out there.
On bamboo.
No air conditioning, which I know you've heard me complain about.
Definitely.
To no end. So I realistically could never make it through. Also, those challenges.
For me, it would be the storms. They always, whenever there's a storm, there's one contestant that goes, when you're watching at home, it cuts away and everything's fine. But when you're here, you have to just be rained on for 4 hours, you know? And it's like, that's so real.
It seems rough.
I couldn't do that.
And like when you're just being fueled by rice, like to get through that.
Yeah.
Like seems rough. It must make those like food challenges though so
All
much
more
worth it.
Yeah.
I love the seasons where they do like the family like little like reunions now. They usually all have like, if you make it far enough, one family or like friend, someone close to you come out. And, you know, after, like, so many weeks of, like, living in those, like, types of conditions, like, these people get so emotional about seeing, like, you know, their girlfriends or their husbands or their children. And I cry every single time.
Because something about that show that I always loved watching was the relief. Anytime they are given something just to see how much they appreciate it. And I understand that's maybe not good.
No, but like I get it.
Yeah, it's so nice. And that's also like people like Ozzy who are really good at providing for the tribe. It's like, you go.
It's so fun to watch them.
Grab that giant clam, you know?
Hell yeah. No, I absolutely love it. I feel like it's just so cool, like, watching the people, like, make the connections out there. And then, like, getting so excited about, like, Applebee's. I'm like, this is so awesome. Like, yeah, you're getting Applebee's. And that rocks. It's just really fun. I love the little, like, emotional reunions. The other day, I was, like, watching everyone get so excited about, like, seeing their partners. And it was it was really sweet. But I was all like good until this one man's 13-year-old son, who was like the youngest person to ever be on Survivor, was coming out to like visit, just to visit.
Okay. Yeah, like,
no, not to compete.
That's not a legal adult.
No, he just came out to visit, but the father got down on his knees when his son ran out, and he just immediately broke into tears.
I would weep.
It broke me. It took me out. But it was just, that show just has so much heart to it. Jeff Probst, like, is a really great host, too, I feel like. They just make it very clear that they care about the players. It's always really sad to watch someone get, like, medical evac'd, because, like, they handle it. They really only do it if it's like, you know, we need to do this for your health. But they handle it with so much care. It's so clear that like they like are doing their best to support the players. And I think that's also like a change maybe from some of the earlier seasons. Like it definitely is way more of an emphasis now.
Yeah.
But I love it. Like it's awesome. Yeah, that show just has so much heart.
It really does for something that also when I watch it, I go, this is kind of canned reality TV.
Yeah, it's just
but
reality
it does
TV.
Have so much heart underneath that.
It's the golden standard of reality TV.
True.
Like, it really is true. The S-tier, like, show yep. of reality television.
And anyone can fight us.
Yes, I will stand behind
we
that.
We are confined to a radio station right now. You know where we are.
Curtis Hall.
Rock on. Maybe we jump into a song.
Sweet.
And then come back with more discussion. Do you have anything that you would like to play right
now? Actually, I'd love to see what you'll pick of the other ones that I have selected.
Let's see.
Yeah, I felt like camp was the perfect way to start, considering you had introduced me to them. And Come With Me Now is the song that I start every morning with over the past 2 weeks at least.
Okay. Have you ever heard Topanga Canyon?
I don't think I have.
Do we have time for a minute
Let's
detour,
go for it.
And then we'll go into your song, and then we'll come back?
Sounds incredible.
Because this is a song that is very mourning to me. So this is Topanga Canyon by John Vincent III, and then we will get into Wide Open Spaces by the Chicks. Be back in a bit.
The highest stakes. She knows the highest stakes. As her folks drive away, her dad yells, check the oil. Mom stares out the window and says, I'm leaving my girl. She said it didn't seem like that long ago when she stood there and let her own folks know she needed wide open spaces, room to make a big mistake. She needs new faces. She knows the highest stakes. She knows the highest stakes. She knows the highest.
And we are back on air. Yeah. So, let's see. We wanted to talk about music rabbit holes. At some point, maybe somewhat soon, we could jump to a PSA.
Sounds perfect.
When you're ready. But, yeah. So Midwest emo, explain it to me in a way that I will understand it, please.
Oh, God. I don't know that I have the words to explain it.
Okay.
Sometimes I get whiny, twinkly morning as my day list on Spotify, and I feel like that kind of encapsulates it a
little
bit.
To be looking at the titles of my day lists more.
Even when I'm not listening to music, I like to check my Spotify day list if I haven't seen what it is, because, you know, they have early morning, afternoon, evening, and I love to see what Spotify says I usually listen to. And I get a lot of Midwestern emo afternoons. I mean, whiny, I feel like, is unfortunately a good word to describe it.
Fair.
It has like a lot of emotion to it. It's some music that sometimes feels less like singing and more like almost slam poetry, with a little bit of singing, kind, you know, like when you do
That's
like a
awesome.
Little lilt. And the lyrics can be like simple to a point that they're silly. This beautiful Front Bottoms line, when I'm happy, I am happy. When I am sad, I am sad.
So
profound.
True. Profound.
It's really a rabbit hole that I did not see myself falling into until last year. The Front Bottoms were touring and coming into Boston, and some friends were like thinking about going. I'd heard a couple songs. It's like, let me give it a listen, and you know, I'll prepare for the concert. I'm someone who loves to learn an artist's music before they come and perform. I want to sing at a concert.
That's what they're about for me.
No, exactly. And I pulled up with a crew of friends. It was awesome. Everyone came and hung out at my house for a little bit before. Then we went to Roxy's Grilled Cheese.
So good.
Amazing. And have you been to the one in Alston?
I have not.
So it doesn't have the arcade bar in the back. Like
Which
the
is
one.
A bummer. But
yeah, I know. It really is missing out, but they have the Alston, their signature grilled cheese.
Oh, yeah?
And my friend Charlie put it perfectly when they described it as, it makes you feel like a Roman emperor.
Whoa.
It's incredible.
Whoa.
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
It's got goat cheese, arugula, caramelized onions, and fig jam. It's perfect.
That's good.
It's amazing.
That's good. Goat cheese is in.
Oh, yeah.
Goat cheese has been in for me for over a year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Same. No, I've been on a goat cheese kick for like at least a year now. So good. And on a grilled cheese, like mind-blowing.
Like melty goat cheese as
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
And it was my first time going to Roadrunner. I really want to hit as many like venues in Boston as possible. I just love like new concert venues.
Yep.
I think they're really fun to check out. And it was the first time I'd been to a Pit concert in a while.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting for me. The energy of the crowd was just awesome. I mean, when we went to like the grilled cheese place beforehand, it was just so funny. Me and my friends walked in, and the guy who was behind the stove looked over at his coworker and was like, "Watch this." And he looked at us and he went, "Roadrunner?" And we were like, yeah. And he turned to his coworker and went, told you. And it was just, it was really funny to show up. And he was like, you just look like you're going to the Front Bottoms concert. Because I'd performed there the night before, too. It was a great memory, actually. Honestly, like, one of the top ones from senior year. I think maybe, like, top five.
That's huge.
Three or four.
That's huge. Yeah.
No, it was awesome. It was a great night. And it really sent me into a rabbit hole to the point that, like, I don't think I'd ever really listened to the Front Bottoms before last year. And they did become my top artist, not only of the year, but also of all time.
The pipeline of concert prepping for someone you don't really know to them becoming one of your top bands is huge.
Oh, yeah. No, huge. And it really is a rabbit hole I fell into and just could not get myself out of. Because every time I'd stop getting obsessed with one song, another one would take its place. And, you know, that was really just the theme of my music last year. Because I think I'd also only listened to, like, Lucy Dacus maybe 10 times ever before 2023 on my Spotify.
Sure. One third of Boy Genius, who
absolutely
is not, in fact, a smart young man.
No, they are not. But they are fantastically talented young women. Yeah, Lucy Dacus. What a woman. She wrote this beautiful, heart-wrenching Night Shift, her magnum opus, as of now at least.
Yeah.
And
I don't know anything about this song other than people see how frequently you listen to it on Spotify and get concerned if you're sad.
But it's so beautiful. That was another one. I'd listened to it maybe 10 times, and then it now is my most listened to song of all time.
That'll do it.
Number two being 3090 from Tick Tick Boom. So, do with that information what you will.
Filing it away.
Yeah.
Filing it away. Rock on. Do we want to jump to a PSA real quick?
Oh, sure. This is the one that I had it open to.
We can also flip to another one, whatever you're feeling.
You know, let's go with it. Do I just read the whole page?
Yeah. You can skip the title.
Number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose of prescription drugs, 54. Number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all of recorded history, 0. A message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Ooh, you spoke that last part in italics. Rock on.
Thank you. I really did my best to emulate their little bold italicized font they used here.
Yeah. No, spectacularly done. You talked about being curious about my music rabbit holes. We've also got some other questions we can dig into. Or, like, what are Midwestern emo bands outside of Front Bottoms?
Big fan of the Mountain Goats, also. Okay. They came to Boston earlier last year, also.
Yes.
Trying to think who else comes up right off the top of my mind.
These are all the bands that I listen to because their title sounds like it's a folk band title, and then I go, this is not right.
Yeah. We've got a Car Seat Headrest.
Car Seat Headrest is so good.
Right?
That's so good.
No, the names are so funny. God, I'm trying to think. Because I listen to a lot of, like, one-offs, like La Dispute. They has this, like, one song that I cannot think of the name of. I have another playlist called, like, Simply Short and Sweet, and it's all songs that are, like, 2 minutes and 30 seconds or less.
I want to make a playlist like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a vibe.
It's perfect. It's and sometimes
vibe.
I just want, like, a quick little song to listen to when I'm almost somewhere.
Yep.
And so I go through that one a lot. And a lot of, like, the Midwestern emo songs, bands just have, like some short songs on every album.
Yeah.
And I love just having a short song or two that I can, like, throw in from a person. It's a really eclectic playlist because the only standard is the length.
Yeah.
So.
And that will get you a lot of very different things.
No, I love it. Assuming you were building one now, given the rabbit holes you may have fallen down recently, what would pop up on it?
What would... this is too many filters, maybe. We've been... So I don't know if it is Midwestern emo, but there's a song called Saint Bernard.
Lincoln.
By Lincoln, which feels Midwestern emo, and it's like a minute and 47 seconds or
I think I have
like
it in the playlist. I got that one from the beautiful piece of art that you made for me. I want to say sophomore year is a joke. What is the title of that one?
I'll pull it up.
Songs that feel like... it's something like a CW show about mournful cowpoke.
I think you got it.
It was brilliant. I love that playlist. I also listen to a lot of Orville Peck now from it.
Really?
I mean, that song Lafayette just really changed something in my brain chemistry.
Huge.
And I get emails from him through Spotify all the time now.
What? I didn't know that was a thing that happened.
Oh, yeah. I get Spotify emails all the time being like, oh, someone's touring or they're releasing merch or whatever. And I have gotten a lot from him lately, which is exciting. I think maybe he's coming on tour.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? The playlist is soundtrack of an unreleased CW show about mournful cowpoke. And it's just like vaguely country, definitely sad / angry songs.
And it feels exactly like the music you would hear in the background of some really epic moment on an unreleased CW show about mournful cowpoke.
It fits
the vibe so perfectly.
And it's also music that I unironically like.
Yeah, no, I mean, the songs hit. Like, I've put so many of those songs into, like, my other playlists now. So it's been great. Yeah. No, like, I love it. Luke, I love taking music from your repertoire. Like, I love taking music from my friends. It's just so great.
Yeah.
Like,
it's good.
Kate Beveridge.
Who I saw walking to this radio show.
Rad.
Our mutual friend, Kate Beveridge.
Awesome Kate Beveridge. One of the coolest girls on Tufts campus.
Yep.
Every time, like, she has a song playing on, like, Be Real when she'll post it, I'll take a little screenshot and give it a listen because so many good ones from her.
Yeah.
Kiss Her You Fool by Kids That Fly has been a favorite lately.
All right. I'm breaking out the Notes app right now.
Yeah, yeah. Would recommend. There's another one that I've gotten from her recently that by Wolfpack, because I know she's a big fan of them. That I really enjoyed but cannot think of the name of.
I'm of the opinion that with some people, there are certain topics where there is a finite amount of time until they will mention them. There's a measurable amount of time. And with Kate Beveridge, Wolfpack is absolutely one of them.
I love that.
I wouldn't change that about anyone.
Are there any for me? I mean, there has to be some for me because I feel like I'm deeply repetitive, but I'm so curious what some of them would be.
I'll mention some off air.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah. Other music rabbit holes. I don't know. Yeah, I've done an electro swing phase. I've done a sea shanty phase.
I remember your sea shanty phase. That was fantastic.
It's you know, it's never gone. It's just lying in wait.
You pulled up to my house to drop Lauren off from D&D with an amazing song. What was that?
What would have been playing in the background there?
I just happened to be on the porch when you guys pulled up, and it felt like just the most epic, like, Irish-style music, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, because I've got one or two that are in that vein of, like, I deeply love a song called Ramblin' Rover, which is just silly. And then Ramblin' Rover and Fiddler's Green, which is about... If I haven't explained this to you, or if you haven't heard of it, this would be so far up your alley. It is an imagined afterlife by Irish and English sailors.
Just
an island where the weather is always good, where you can just rest, where you don't have to go out to sea, but you can fish if you want. And it's the place you go when you've sailed your last voyage.
What a dream.
It's awesome. It's really cool. And so the entire song, Fiddler's Green, is just describing what it's like over there and the journey to get there.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really cool.
I'm going to need to hear more from your sea shanty list, I think.
Yeah.
Like that. Wow. What an awesome rabbit hole.
It's a really cool rabbit hole. And So I've always wanted to make a playlist of sea shanties, but they're ordered most to least or least to most geographically confusing because sea shanties really like to name ports, but sometimes they name ports that are like on opposite sides of the world. They're like, we sailed for a couple days and we started in Madagascar and we ended in Maui, and you're like,
no, it's like Country Roads. Oh, I don't remember the part of the song, but there's one part where he sings about where he's driving, and it's just like the wrong way.
Yep.
But it flows better. He was like, "Eh, it flows better," so I'm keeping it, and I respect that. Yeah, it's for the artistic nature of the song.
There's a video online. I forget who sent it to me, but credit to whoever did. of some guy trying to explain how the Cumberland Gap line makes sense.
I love it. Make it rationalize it. Why not? Like, we can come up with a path.
If there's a clothing store called Gap in a town called Cumberland, then maybe this makes sense.
It works. No, yeah. I'm sure we can find a town named Cumberland with a gap.
Yeah. It's got to be out there somewhere.
I haven't seen a Gap in so long.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to Cambridge Side recently, the mall, and they didn't have Old Navy anymore. Heartbreaking.
You hate to see a mall be different.
I know. I want the stores that I recognize in the place where I recognize them.
Nope. The Burlington Mall, which was my high school mall, which I think will always be, you know, a special place in your heart. It's gone through radical changes while I've been at college.
Yeah.
The bubble tea shop is still where it should be, they haven't gotten rid of the Newbery Comics. And so those are the two things that I care about.
Important. As long as the Hot Topic stays where it is at my hometown mall, then I feel like my middle school nostalgia will stay intact. Most of the other department stores, they're hanging on strong. The Macy's closed down, and that was a hit. Yeah.
Macy's are generally fuerte.
I know. But they got the JCPenney's still kicking.
Yep.
In a Dillard's?
It's been actual years since I've thought about Dillard's.
Yeah. I only think about it when I think about the Oaks Mall in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
But I love malls. There's just such a funny vibe about them.
Yep. Yeah. Couple minutes left. I know we wanted to talk about classes we would take if we couldn't take our classes.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's start with that, and let's just see how much time we've got left after.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm such a social sciences student.
Yeah.
All of my classes have been in, like, social sciences for the most part. Sociology, economics, or political science.
Yep.
But I feel, like, in a universe so close to this one, like, Everything Everywhere All at Once style.
Yes.
That I am an environmental science major somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere in a near universe.
You've taken at least one environmental science class that I know of.
I have. I took two with you, kind of. Well, I mean, if you count GIS.
GIS counts. Yeah. Yeah.
Then I've taken both of my environmental science classes with you, actually, GIS, which would have loved to take the second one of that. I think if I had another semester here, I think I would have.
Yep. That might be the question of, can we flip it to, if you had another semester, what would you take?
Oh, absolutely, because that would definitely be on the list. I loved Flowers of the Alps. I mean, getting to hike for a class.
Huge.
How incredible. And huge. Once again, in France, in Terroir, I mean, beautiful. I feel like the environmental policy class that you're taking just sounds interesting to me.
You're in an environmental law class. They've got to be similar.
They are very similar. Actually, I forgot that was also cross-listed as an environmental science. See, I'm so close to the fact that I'm close to being an environmental science major in this year.
It's going to happen. Lacey, it's going to happen.
I love your plan for it.
We've got a running joke that by, do we say 35 or 40 or something?
I think
we said
by 40.
By 40, Lacey will be a botanist.
Because I'm supposed to be burned out of finance by the end of my 20s.
Yep.
And in my 30s, going through a period of rediscovery in which I get my PhD in botany.
Midlife crisis into botanist is the goal.
Which sounds like a perfect way to solve a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Also, not that I would wish a midlife crisis on you or anyone.
No, but, absolutely. But if it's going to happen, I might as well become a botanist.
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Gotta walk away with useful life skills.
Yeah, I get to spend more time outdoors with nature. Yep. I mean, really, it sounds like the best possible result of one.
There are very few things that you can study in college that will be useful in an apocalypse. And botany is one of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope I never live to see the day of a zombie apocalypse.
In sophomore year of college, I had a very real, like, I had one day where I walked out of one of my classes and was like, none of this would help me if I were stranded on a desert island. What am I here for?
Yeah, no, I would be in trouble with the classes I've taken. I could recognize the Ramsons that we learned, and they're garlic tasting, but I don't know if they're substantial enough to keep me going. Otherwise, every single other class assumes that I live in civilization with people. You know, usually there's an economy or a society or something going on.
Often assumes that you have a laptop.
Exactly. so Yeah, environmental science is like maybe one of the most useful majors. I feel like if you're going off the grid, it has to be, right?
Yeah, I would suppose. I don't know.
Do you see yourself going off the grid?
Okay, I'm going to answer, then you're going to answer, and then I think we need to wrap up.
Cool.
Actually, no, but you've got to fantasize about
it. Right?
Everyone's got to fantasize about it.
It sounds like such a dream.
Yeah.
To be like, I mean, I love being home and being in places where there's like no yep. one else nearby, and you just have solitude and space.
Yep.
And also it's gorgeous and green and beautiful. You can have land and animals and whatever. I mean, I fantasize about that. Just surrounded by books.
There's a documentary about a guy that did this successfully in Alaska. Not the other documentary about the guy that tried to do this and immediately died. We should watch that together.
I would love to watch that. New
it's
thing
like
45
or like 50 minutes. It's
that
like
sounds
short.
Perfect.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Just because the idea of having like 5 or 6 daily routines and everything is quiet.
Right.
And it's just peaceful.
Yeah.
And you don't need anything. You just seek it out when you want it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just like such a slower way of living in
yep.
a way that's like really nice. Like everything feels so intentional and like, you really, like, focus on the value of the things that you choose to do. I mean, not that you can't do that, obviously,
yeah.
but I feel like it's easier for things to slip through the cracks in, like, the hustle and bustle of, like, daily life now.
Definitely.
And there's just something so appealing about, you know, a little more relaxed, a little more remote.
Definitely. So, everyone, slow down a little bit and just pay attention. Smell the roses, all that stuff.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Lacey.
Thanks for having me, Luke. I'm so excited
fun.
I got to be here.
Yeah. For the audience, I will be back next week with another interview. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning in, and we will come up with a song to end the show on She's a Rainbow by the Rolling Stones.
That sounds incredible.
Excellent.
Another song I've been listening to a lot lately.
Excellent. Here we go. Have a good day, y'all. Stay warm.
Dressed in blue.